first in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new week here on Spouting Off at our flagship station, 1590 AM WSMN and 95.3 FM, Nashua, New Hampshire, the live free or die state. Never has that slogan been more important. Were you listening to the news coming into our broadcast here? If you were, you would hear that, I think it was Jim Jordan said, people are frightened that their government has accused them of being a threat to democracy simply for disagreeing with the threat to democracy administration that is imposing unconstitutional mandates and abusing its power and authority over the citizens. They're scared. They're frightened. How about that? I have been talking a lot about this ever since we saw it. Actually, it was Thursday night when the actual speech was given, so I haven't had a chance to really talk about it here in this format, in this show, but I've been talking about it pretty incessantly. The administration, Biden and friends, whomever is really directing this administration, we won't go down that path, but you know what I mean. It seems impossible to believe that this shell of a human being could make any policy at all. So I will simply call them Biden and company. We don't know. I call them the whomevers. We don't know who's directing this policy, but these policies and this manner of communication with the American people is insightful. It's not insightful, I-N-S-I-G-H-T. It is inciting hatred and violence. It's fomenting. It is every bit as propagandist demagoguery as anything we've seen from any third world dictatorship. Remember, they're playing out of a playbook which has been seen so many times before. And the problem is it's just so hard and heartbreaking to imagine that this is being done to our own country and to our own citizens. They're sowing the seeds for persecution. They're sowing the seeds to justify their future persecution by labeling actual American citizens as, quote, clear and present dangers. This is being used, this is a term, a very legal term, used to fight foes of the United States. And keeping in line with the pattern, this constant and growing and escalating pattern of framing criminals and enemies to America as victims and friends, and framing actual citizens of these United States of America who are God-fearing, who love the Constitution, who love America, who love the rule of law, and want to return to it, framing all of those people as the dangerous victims and authoritarians who are fomenting violence. Now, if you can't see, it's not the kind of projection that we see in psychology. It's the kind of projection that is used in gaslighting. If you saw the movie Gaslight ever, you know that the bad guy is trying to drive Ingrid Bergman crazy, the bad guy being played by Charles Boyer, trying to drive her crazy so he can put her in a mental hospital and take all her money. So I call it as the the arsonists are in charge of the fire brigade, and they're pointing fingers at people whose houses are burning down and saying that they are the arsonists. This is deadly, deadly dangerous, but it is also reminiscent of some of the worst authoritarian tactics that we've seen, even in recent history, where you label a group of people that are your enemies, or you want to make them scapegoats. This is called bigotry. This is what we've been lectured by the left is so terrible. You do not lump people together all in one bucket because they're the same color or because they all voted for the same person. But now they're doing precisely what they've been lecturing us against, which is to foment hate and bigotry towards their enemies and claiming their enemies are a danger to society. That way, when they do more to us, and they plan to, they have been, when they abuse their power and our constitutional rights, they can say, yes, but see, we told you they were dangerous, and that's why we have to use these tactics. Very, very, very frightening stuff. So when the news reports that Jim Jordan said that his constituents are frightened that their own government is putting them in the crosshairs simply for disagreeing, I don't know if we played it here, but the Hillary Clinton audio from many years ago of her screeching about how they're allowed to disagree with any administration. I have that audio and I'll play it in future. I unfortunately have to apologize for playing it, but their rules apply to themselves, but not to us. But fast forward after this dark speech, remember they called Trump speeches, no matter how hopeful Donald Trump was, they kept calling it dark, dark, dark. And yet, when you have a blood red background with militaristic imagery and window dressing and a screaming Biden telling you that citizens are a danger to the democracy, that's not dark, right? That's not dark. But then what happened after that is that it wasn't received well, even by some people who aren't reliable conservatives as being, a little divisive, really. A little bit, maybe it's not even advised in a midterm election, except if you already know you're going to win. And it was not received well. The speech was roundly criticized as being divisive and hostile and even hateful and threatening, which all of which was true. Then they tried to pull it back and weaken it. One of the leftist news outlets tried to turn the blood red background pink to make it softer, to make it milder. And when that didn't work, the next tactic was employed. And boy, oh boy, was it predictable. Less than 48 hours after that appalling, atrocious, despicable display of authoritarian power, hatred, and bigotry towards dissent, and lumping, more than half of the population, more than half the country, into one bucket and calling them dangerous and semi-fascist and all of this, less than 48 hours, we got more mainstream media, not mainstream, legacy media, putting out the message again and again and again. The new narrative is that Joe Biden is a victim of death threats online. He was a victim of online death threats because of his speech, just like the FBI was a victim of death threats, or they fomented these things so they could report them, like the wraparound smear, that somebody somewhere made a threat to the FBI, and that's all because they brought 100, it's hard to believe, 100 agents and raided a former U.S. president's home, the presumptive competition to the current administration. No benefit there. So that was the same thing they did. I even got a leftist pitch for a guest that said, well, we predict there's going to be riots in the streets because of what the FBI did to Trump. Nothing of that sort happened, but they still played the victim card. Why is it they must always play the victim card? They cannot afford for their enemies to appear like the victims they really are, even though they're the ones victimizing them. Do you get it? Part of their strategy, every single time they show that they are the true terrorists, the true dictators, they are the true threats to our republic. And we're not a democracy, we're a republic. But they use the term democracy because it sounds better. Every time they show that they are a threat to this republic, certainly as it was founded with the constraints of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, when there's pushback, they claim victimhood. You can set your watch by it. Okay? So just remember that when a comedian was holding a severed head of a sitting president, that wasn't a death threat. Nothing happened to Kathy Griffin and even Johnny Depp, who I used to like, who called for the assassination of the president. These celebrities, those were full out death threats, but nothing happened to them because, well, the left doesn't have a problem with that. They love fomenting hatred any way they can to Donald Trump. Those death threats were just fine. So it's all propaganda. It's propaganda to make people appear like black and white thinking. When I was a social worker, we always talked about borderline personality disorder. This radical left is creating, fomenting borderline personality disorder, complete with black and white thinking. Trump supporters are evil. They're terrorists. They're domestic terrorists. They're causing violence. Never mind that the violence the left created and raised money to cover people's bail, as in 2020. We all know this. When they were burning down Wendy's, people were killed. No, that didn't matter. As long as we're the greater victim, we will succeed. We will prevail. So when they try to paint themselves as the greater victim, ask yourself, what are the facts here? Is there, when they call out these atrocious, hate-filled accusations, where's their evidence? They have none. This is all for people who are too gullible to ask the questions, and they know they'll get punished somehow or some way for daring to ask those questions. So if you sit down, if you shut up, if you don't say anything, supposedly the situation goes that you're going to be fine. No, when you comply with these kind of tyrannical tactics, you get more tyrannical tactics. That's how it goes. One last point on this, and then we're going to have to take a break. And that is, somebody sent me an extraordinary, I didn't have time to go through it, and I won't. I would like to recommend that you read the great Victor Davis Hanson, who wrote a piece, How Old Bad Ideas Become Wonderful. It is in, hang on a minute. Yes, it is in AM Greatness. Quote, we in America are regressing, now returning to the distant Neanderthal past, now embracing the worst of what the 19th and the 20th century had to offer. Worst of all, we create such cultural destruction and then call it progress. Read that article. It is powerful. Victor Davis Hanson. When we come back, we're going to have a very special guest who's standing up against medical tyranny when we get back. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off here on WSMN Nashua, New Hampshire. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off here in Nashua, New Hampshire, but all everywhere, wherever you hear your podcasts, we put them up, but our flagship station is WSMN in Nashua, New Hampshire. I am really excited to welcome our next guest. I have been wanting to have her on the show, and therefore I decided to book her for more than just one segment because I'm so enchanted with what she does, what she has founded, and what she's doing. She is president and founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund, a nonprofit which seeks to rectify health injustice through education, advocacy, and legal challenges to unjust mandates, laws, and policies that undermine our health freedoms. We're going to have an extended discussion with her, and I am so delighted to have her with us. Her name is Leslie Manoukian. Thank you, Leslie, for joining us here on the show.
Karen, that was the sweetest intro. Thank you so much. It is my honor and pleasure to be here with you today.
Thank you. This subject, what we have been watching in the last 3 years of turning hospitals and all our healthcare system into arms of a tyrannical government and what they are doing, I have seen it. It breaks my heart. It scares me. And you are doing something about it. I'd like to give you a very broad berth and talk to us about how you founded this organization. And then we'll talk about what you do.
Sure. Well, I just have to say that New Hampshire's license plate has always inspired me since I was a young person. Live free or die. I just don't understand why anybody else can see the world any different way. So maybe right. I came out that way, Karen. I don't know. But
me too.
I've been, you know, I worked on Wall Street for 11 or 12 years. I worked at Goldman Sachs and then Alliance Capital. And, you know, I did very well, but it was not fulfilling me. For me, it was in some way soul-destroying. I felt like I was playing for the wrong team. And what happened was I heard CEOs of multinational companies that would come in for us to talk to them about their businesses so we could decide whether or not we would own their stock. I would listen to them talk about how, you know, they knew that their new drug was going to kill some people, but they'd still do $7 billion in peak sales.
Oh, my
God. And I was just sickened by this. I mean, literally sickened. I felt like someone had kicked me in the stomach. And I guess I was very fortunate at a young age to have those experiences, see the truth that these people are not doing what they think is best for humanity. They are really, truly only focusing on corporate profits and very often at the expense of humanity. And then also to see that this may sound crazy, but, you know, they say you know, money doesn't buy happiness, and I can just tell you that it doesn't. I learned that at a very young age because I was being paid a lot of money, and I came home, and I remember getting a giant bonus, and my husband said, "Did you find out about your bonus today?" And I said, "Yeah, I did," and I started crying. Mm-hmm. And he said, he said, "Why are you crying? Are you disappointed?" And I'm like, "No, I'm empty." And, you know, I think that was just a tremendous gift from God that I got to learn at a very young age that money doesn't buy happiness. It doesn't buy fulfillment. It doesn't buy inspiration or integrity or anything else like that. And I realized that I was doing something that wasn't actually serving me or serving my family or anybody else, and that I had to make changes. And so I started learning about the whole health debate. I didn't even know there was a health debate around vaccines, but I started learning about it. And the way that I learned about it was because I was sick. I was living in London running Alliance Capital's European Growth Portfolio Management and Research business. And I was just really sick and getting sicker, and I didn't know what was going on. And my mainstream doctor told me to go and see a homeopath. Homeopaths are very common in Britain. And the very first day in orientation, the guy who was running it said, you know, we're going to talk about all sorts of things over the next 3 years, because I enrolled in homeopathy school because it was it had such a huge impact on me.
Yeah.
I went to the doctor told me, go see a homeopath. So I did. And it had such a impact on me. I thought, wow, I really want to explore this. And I enrolled in homeopathy school. Actually, I didn't in secret, to be honest. And I went on the weekends. It didn't, interfere with my job, but I went on the weekends. And the very first weekend, I heard that that there was a potential debate around vaccines. And this is a critical portion of my story, because he gave me a book to read, which I read, and then I was stunned by it. You know, I'm an analyst kind of geek by nature. And I was one of those kids who at two was asking, but why, Mom? But why? But why?
You and me both.
And I think it was exasperating to some extent. But, it stood me very well. And I've done everything I can to nurture that in my own son, right?
Excellent.
Yeah. But anyway, so what ended up happening was I read this book, and it rocked my world. And given my experience of knowing that CEOs actually did trade off of human life for corporate profit, I decided that I was going to investigate it. And I made a documentary film on vaccines that won several awards called The Greater Good. And it was just a look at the whole debate through the lens of a variety of different experts from all different perspectives and families who'd had a personal impact from them. And it really launched me into the whole health freedom movement. But most importantly, it helped me to understand why it is so important that we have bodily autonomy, that we have the right to choose how we keep ourselves well and what medical interventions we will allow or select for our families. And this was already heating up over 15 years ago. And so I started doing a deep dive on all the ways that the Congress has passed and the federal government has just usurped power, but basically power taking away our rights and freedoms. And so when 2020 unfolded, I knew exactly where this was headed, because they've been putting the different steps in place to essentially allow the COVID response to happen the way that it did for decades, if not even a century.
And you saw it happening.
So at the beginning of 2020, I said, I got to start, do something. And I started Health Freedom Defense Fund.
Glad.
That was the whole
point.
I'm
so glad you did. And I'm so glad we have the time, to talk about this. This is so much of what is going on right now. I just want to throw in this one question. I am a conservative, not a Republican. I'm a conservative, and there was a large group of people who would have loved your movie, The Greater Good, and everything that you did. And then all of a sudden, many of them liberals, many of them professed liberals, would have loved it, about corporations and trading off people's lives and deaths and insurance companies and big pharma. They loved all, they would have been 100% behind you. And then COVID came, their betters told them they should be forced to put a rag on their face, which did nothing but subject them and erase their individuality, and they should be forced to take a vaccine. And like clockwork, they fell in line and goose-stepped to what they were said. Would you like to comment on that? Because it was such a dramatic shift in everything we've seen from your basic Democrat or anybody who loved freedom, and then all of a sudden, boom, they did what they were told.
I'd like to say two things to that, Karen, which I think is one of the most important shifts in American politics. First of all, let me say, I was a devout leftist until I made the greater good. And so were my fellow filmmakers. We were all very, very liberal. We thought that we were the good guys, the cool guys, the ones on the right side. We thought we were, you know, defending all these ideals that we held to be dear. And I would say that the flip actually began before COVID. And that's what most people don't realize. COVID has laid bare a trend that was already in place for over 15 years. And that was the shift from, at least in perception, from the left defending rights to the right defending rights. And I'm with you. I'm not a Republican. I don't know, even know if I consider myself a conservative. I don't really identify with any party because I don't feel that either of them or any of them are reflect who I am. And I don't think anybody can be put into one of those boxes. I'm just a human being who believes in the right to choose what I put in my body. And what I wanted to share with you is that COVID was a really, you know, it exposed it very, very clearly. But I think this trend began far before what you realize. And the reason I say that is I live in a very beautiful and well-off community in Sun Valley, Idaho, the nation's first ski resort. And when my filmmaking partners and I started going around trying to raise money in this valley, which is very left-leaning, we were met with walls of silence. And this is in 2008, 2009. Wow. These people didn't want to know already. And let me tell you as well, the media, for the most part, leans hard left, right? You know, all of the legacy and major media. And we got smeared. We were smeared by the New York Times. Our film, the chief programmer at Sundance wanted our film in. She said her hands were tied from above. They censored our film. We got smeared all across the nation. The New York Times out and out lied about us. And so, and yet what would happen is I'd go and I'd speak with conservatives about the issues that I was, that we were going to raise in the film, that the government's not being honest. And they would say, well, of course the government's lying.
Right.
And then they would say, you know, these federal health agencies aren't protecting our children. Well, of course they're not. And I was just like, whoa, whoa, smack my head, right?
They're not what the propaganda said they are. And of course, we see this insane move towards demonizing them all, which is bigotry. But there's so much to talk about. And
Karen, can I just
go ahead and finish that thought? Go ahead.
Two or three years ago, was it beginning of 2019, the World Health Organization labeled anti-vaxxers as one of the top 10 threats to global health.
Well, of course they did. It's
okay,
all
but
their
Adam
fault.
Schiff, Adam right. Schiff, congressman from California, he wrote to Amazon and Facebook and YouTube and everybody and told them to take down any content that conflicted with mainstream narratives. My point is it began before COVID, well before COVID. It's just that nobody was paying attention to it, except for those of us who are deeply entrenched deeply fighting in the trenches is a much better way to portray it with respect to health freedom. So I think it's, you know, COVID laid it bare, but it had been going on for a long time already, in my view.
Yes, but COVID and what they did with COVID really, I'm not disagreeing with you, was a jump the shark moment in which they pulled the trigger and they said, we're going for it. We're going with full out authoritarianism. We all know because we've lived it, so I don't have to go through that. But I would like you to comment on the umbrella effect of what you are fighting. It has come out in drips and drabs that Andrew Cuomo, among others, not the only one, he didn't just do a stupid thing by sending COVID into nursing home patients. He did a brazen thing that killed thousands of people. And I can't help but say that the policies we're watching seem to be designed to have us cheapen life itself, to disrespect life, certainly disrespect individual liberty. I see it as a march to Marxism. But the fact that somebody could get away with that and then leave office because they had a sexual impropriety and never, ever, ever be held accountable, doesn't that override, doesn't that tell us where we are? And I'd like you to comment to that. I'm sorry. Like you to comment on that.
Yeah, very much, Karen. This lawlessness, though, was going on beforehand. In New York, they took away religious exemptions for children to vaccinations by suspending the rules of the New York Assembly. They did the same thing in California. In 2019, this is what they did. But in California, they've been attacking parental rights for more than a decade. It has been a slow chip away at all of parents' rights, to the point now where parents can't exempt their children anymore unless they homeschool them. And my point is that what is going on is a full-fledged assault on not only parental rights, but every American's freedoms to choose how they live their lives. And it's not an innocent mistake. I just posted it to my Substack literally a few minutes ago. CDC, just an innocent mistake. That's the title of my latest piece. Mm-hmm. This stuff has been going on for decades. And I mean, Karen, this may sound sensational, but people need to understand this is mass murder. That's what it is.
That's correct.
What has happened in this country is that we have excess death almost exclusively in 11 states and in states that are literally next door, as though a state line, as though a virus can understand a state line. there's no excess deaths in one state, but in the neighboring state, New York, there's extreme excess deaths, or in Michigan or New Jersey, and in the states around them that you don't see that. Why is that? Because these policies pushed, literally forced on the public by these literally crazed governors led to the death of thousands.
Yes.
Why?
That's correct.
And they put forth these shots, too, which are not safe or effective, and they lied about it. I can tell you need to go to break.
We're going to talk about that, and we're going to leave plenty of room so you can see why I needed you, at least these two segments, and I'm so glad you're staying. And we're going to talk about what your organization is doing to fight back against this. It is so critically important. Delighted to have Leslie Manoukian with us. We will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com, and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read The Difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and The Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today, when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them. not the government. Get Fatlash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. We are delighted to be talking to Leslie Manoukian, the founder of healthfreedomdefense.org. Thank you, Leslie, for staying with us and doing another segment. We so appreciate your time.
Karen, it's so great to be with you. And if you don't mind, I just want to finish up the last comment I was making because it's so important.
Please.
It is not an accident that governors banned hydroxychloroquine in March of 2020 before it was even controversial or Trump had said anything about it or anybody was questioning it. They took it away. Why? It is not an accident that they did the same thing with ivermectin, that basically they've been doing all they can to pillory it. It's not an accident that CDC has suppressed its own science showing that masks have no impact, that distancing, literally, they say, Paul Alexander, who served in the Trump administration, says that Robert Redfield, the former CDC director, says they just made up the distancing distance of 6 feet. These things are not accidents. You can't view them in a vacuum. And then when you look at the shot, this shot is responsible for tens of thousands of deaths just reported to the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System and well over a million adverse events. In a normal world, in a just world, in a logical world,
sane
it would have been
world.
Pulled off the market. In a sane world, it would have been pulled off the market right away. And that's not happening.
Yes.
And
like
that's
Tylenol
why I have to
did.
Say, yes,
right.
It's mass murder. They know damn well what they're doing. And people have to wake up and understand that this is not a joke. They are sterilizing young people. This is a problem. I mean, women, I actually went to the naturopath last week. She told me that she is sending in samples of semen for analysis, and the lab results are showing that 75% of the sperm are dead in the sample. Dead.
Have they known whether the samples come from vaccinated people?
Yes, they're all from vaccinated individuals.
I'm going to add this because I pulled this. I want you to just to add this. Headline. I couldn't believe my eyes, but yes, I could. Embalmers have been finding numerous long fibrous clots that lack post-mortem characteristics with no elements of life in them, like zinc and copper and just the normal metals. They're finding this drastic increase in blood clots of vaccinated people who died.
And Karen, they're not blood clots, right? They are something foreign. They do not have the same composition that you find in normal blood. They have elevated levels. Most elevated is tin. What the heck is tin doing in the human body, let alone in these clots, whatever. I mean, I'm calling them clots in air quotes. Tin and other very, suspicious things are in these clots. And are they obstructing our capillaries and our blood vessels? And is that what's killing people? We don't know. And then, of course, there's also the other recent revealed information that in Pfizer's own data, they only reported on a subset of women, but on those that they reported who were pregnant during the trial, 86, I believe, percent of them miscarry their babies.
Stunning.
And yet
stunning.
We're told that they're horrific. Safe for pregnant women. Yeah.
And they're suppressing this information. So let's move forward here and take advantage of this time because it is so dark and so frightening. If we allow ourselves, which our listeners have, to recognize that this is being done to the population with malicious forethought, then if it's being done maliciously, then where do we go from there? I'll think of the exact question that I'm asking, but when people go to a hospital, they're being they're being prescribed things that will kill them. We have found that remdesivir and ventilators turned up too high. If you accept that they no longer respect life, then it isn't as hard to believe that this kind of horror is actually happening in the United States of America. So in your group, healthfreedomdefense.org, I want you to talk about what you're doing to fight back against this, because, you know, that's what is so beautiful, is that you didn't say this is horrible. You're doing something about it.
Well, let me start by saying that we are the group that stopped the nationwide travel mask mandate. So we won our lawsuit in April of this year, pushing back against the federal government's mask mandate for everybody who was traveling. And we won that case. It's now under appeal, but, you know, we feel pretty optimistic about our chances of surviving appeal because we believe the government overstepped its bounds, the CDC, by issuing that diktat, essentially. Mm-hmm. But the point is that you're raising is that it's easy to be dark and sit here and do nothing, or sit here and feel paralyzed in fear because it's hard to even conceive, for those of us who are decent human beings, which is the vast majority of us, that others could be downright evil and so brazen in their attacks on human life, essentially. But that's what's happening. Yeah. And I just decided that I have a 19-year-old son. I wasn't going to sit idly by and do nothing. I know, because of all the research I've done for the last 20 years, that this whole situation has been put in place, that the foundation was paved in order to facilitate such a drastic response to a so-called health emergency. And I decided that the best thing to do would be to fight back through the courts, through education, and through advocacy. So we try and educate people about their rights, because most Americans don't even know what their rights are. They don't know that the Declaration of Independence says that your rights come from your creator. Mm-hmm. And as such, they cannot be taken. They cannot be usurped, removed, or infringed upon by government, no matter what they're saying. Now, that doesn't mean that the courts always uphold that, because our courts have strayed far from our original founders, but we can push back. So we educate, we advocate by giving people materials to go to their state legislatures and their representatives and speak with them about how they want their rights protected and the laws that they want passed in order to ensure that their rights are protected. And then we litigate when necessary. And of course, there's been ample opportunity to litigate in the last 2.5 years. So we've done a ton of that. We have filed over a dozen lawsuits. And we've got a bunch of lawsuits pending. We've got some, you know, the biggest success, of course, is the mask mandate lawsuit. And we can't do this work without your support. So please do go and donate to us at healthfreedomdefense.org. But basically, we are trying to do everything we can to push back against these unlawful, unethical, egregious violations of our personal rights and freedoms. The Supreme Court has ruled repeatedly that you have the right to refuse medical treatment. And that even
it's
if the
basic patient's bill
you,
of rights is as basic as it's the Nuremberg Code. It's as basic as it gets.
Correct, Karen. Yes. Correct. And the thing is, but it's incumbent upon each and every American to stand up and say no. We now know that these shots don't prevent transmission or infection. But even if they did, every human being has to make the decision about what's right for them. That's what we stand up for. If you want to choose to take the shot, that's your right. But Health Freedom Defense Fund also will defend your right to not choose. And that's why we exist. That's it.
Yes,
plain and simple.
Beautiful. And as part of that, you absolutely have a right to do that. You also have a right to have informed consent and not to be lied to about what's in the shot, especially an experimental shot. So you're talking not only about coercion, but also the use of force. What else do you want us to know, Leslie, that we need to know? One of the things I find is that people who have what I call the curse of awareness about all this that we're talking about, I don't think my audience is oblivious to what we're talking about, but it is so dark that it's easy to get frozen in place, catatonic. What can one person do when the arsonists are in charge of the fire brigade? They have the power. So it's easy to feel powerless. And you're a model of how it is that you don't feel powerless. But talk to our listeners who get it. And I do want them to go to your website and make a donation, but what else can they do so as not to feel powerless?
Well, I think there are so many things that they can do. First of all, they can run for their local school boards. They can run for city council and other positions like this. Local decisions are made locally, and you can impact them by running for office and standing up for rights. So that's one thing. The other thing you can do is contact the editor of your local newspaper, write articles defending your freedoms, expressing what you think is important. The biggest thing is, I think that most Americans don't know their rights anymore because our educational system has failed them. And secondly, because Americans have actually taken their eye off the ball in recent decades.
Yes.
And I think it's critically important that Americans reengage. So show up. When's the last time you attended a city council meeting? Do you even know what they're doing? Do you know what your state legislature is doing? Do you know who your state representative or senator is? You've got to find out. You've got to see where they stand, and you've got to make your voices heard. We are the many.
Excellent.
They are the few, and we can push back. So you've got to get involved. My mantra for the last year has been globalism is the problem, localism is the answer. And I truly believe that. So you've got to get involved on the local level. And then you also have to throw your support to groups like us who are actually doing what they can to fight back. We have sued the Los Angeles Unified School District, the second largest school district in America, because they are trying to force and they are firing teachers who won't get the shots, even though the shots are now known to injure and kill people and cause catastrophic health conditions, even though we know that the shots don't confer any kind of immunity. They don't even reduce hospitalization or death like they were alleged. So we can't fight these fights unless we get support. We're suing the federal government on behalf of federal employees who are being forced to get the shots. Thousands of airline and transportation workers who are being forced to get the shots. We just filed a lawsuit about 10 days ago on behalf of a young woman who's a receptionist at 20th Television Animation. It's a Disney company. She's a receptionist who had a happy life and happy job until it was revealed that she didn't want to get the shot because she has an immune condition. And also it violates her religious faith. She's a Christian and she doesn't countenance anything that comes from aborted babies. And these shots are born on aborted baby tissues. And so we're suing Disney for her. We're helping her to support Disney. We're underwriting and sponsoring this. And this is a lawsuit for every American, because if they can do this to a young receptionist just because she's a Christian conservative who declined the shot, they can do it to anybody. So I just encourage every one of your listeners to go to our website, donate what you can, get engaged, follow what's going on, and support the work of our group and other groups who are doing what they can to support your freedoms. You know, we're on the front lines doing this, and we can't do it without the support of the millions of Americans who are on our side. And make no mistake, you are not alone. There are millions of Americans on your side.
Thank God. You are a model for people. Many people have started these organizations to fight back, and I truly do believe we would be even further along toward tyranny, authoritarianism in this country, if there wasn't the pushback that you are doing. Think of it, that there are places where they went even further, like Australia and Austria. And these people in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere, this group of people, they will go as far as they're allowed to, as far as they can. And pushback and defiance against tyranny is critical. We've got about 4 minutes. I love your passion. If there's somebody out there who wants to start a group, maybe not about healthcare or something else, what kind of advice might you give them to do that?
You know, Karen, I think that the universe, God, and others support you when you are following your passion and when you just put one foot in front of the other to try to make a difference. I think it creates a giant tailwind or vortex for you. You know, I didn't know what was going to happen when I started this. I didn't know that in less than 2 years of starting Health Freedom Defense Fund, we'd sue the federal government and win. Whoever knows that? You know, it's so easy to look around you and think, oh, they're so much further ahead, or, oh, they're so much bigger than I am, or they're this or they're that. You just have to follow your heart, and you have to trust that if you're following your heart, all is as it's meant to be, and that you will get the support that you need. And I think that that's what you need to do. That's why I say, get involved. The world is changed by those who show up. That's it. It's not changed by the masses getting involved. It's changed by the few who decide they are going to engage because they are passionate. They believe in principle. They believe in truth. They believe in accountability, and they believe in duty. Let's be honest. Duty is a major part of what it takes to make any country work, because we can't be free without the duty to defend our freedom. You can't have a free country without the duty to show up and be accounted. So it's really important that people remember that it's incumbent upon them to engage. And so I just think if you do that, all you have to do is start. Don't be afraid to start. Just take one step, and then others will support you, because there are so many people who just don't know what to do, or don't have the focus or energy or whatever it might be. So take that first step. Just do that and see where it takes you. That's my advice.
Oh, you are so inspiring, and I don't want to gush, but I am absolutely, with enormous respect for you, for having seen the enormity of this problem and used your talents, your gifts, and your passion to make a difference. We have about a minute, and I'll give you, actually, yeah, we have a minute. So healthfreedomdefense.org. Yes.
I want to say something. There's something happening right now, and that is that the World Health Organization wants more power. They want more power. They want a pandemic treaty globally that will be binding on every member nation, telling you what to do in the event of another crisis. They want more power, despite the fact that they have failed, they have lied, they have concealed information.
It's a vehicle to Marxism.
Please go to... Screw the WHO, or it's Stop the WHO, rather. Stop the WHO. There
stop
is actually a hashtag.
The WHO.
StopTheWHO.com. And please put out a video about this.
Leslie Manoukian, I'm so glad you were on. Thank you for the generosity of your time. Thank you for the work that you do. Hats off to you. We got to go. We'll have another show on Thursday. Thank you.
WSMN.